is good how we labor and push into that which concerns the Lord and is part of the very intention as to why we are gathered here even today and every other day that we get to come here. Is a commissioning in the Holy Spirit that He gives unto us that we may be able to push more in the vehicle of the Spirit. So don't just be here because you found yourself here, but you have to be here based on the intention as to why you are here. The blessings in a fellowship comes to a man when that man knows that they are coming for Jesus and not just to attend a meeting. And part of the whole extreme adventures that we might take in the Holy Spirit must always be anchored on expectations. So the first thing you must do, or the first question you must ask ourselves, that is there an expectation that you are having even this evening? So we are not here because we want to be here. But there's an expectation that is like a spark. It keeps on pulling a man towards the direction in which they must go. And what must bring the beauty in a meeting? How are you? You are here. Okay. Where's that other one? How are you? You're also here. Why people put in black? Was the black the theme color for today? Yeah. Only Magenta is... we are the ones who are outside. You people, you are having is it for the praise and worship or for the intercessors? Is a color for the day, yeah? All right, so expectation begin to play. Okay. Something, okay, I see three things that the Lord want to show you, right? So there's a place I want to take you in the next, in 10 seconds, then you come back, right? Don't fall, just relax, right? Okay, breathe in, breathe out. I want you to relax. So there's a place I want to take you in 10 seconds, then there are things I want you to see. I'm not going to mention it. I'm going to allow you to see it, right? They are a bit of some instruments, not the literal instruments. I'm trying to use a word that can fix this. They're like instruments, right? Okay, just do your hands like this, then close your eyes. So Holy Spirit, that which you showed me concerning her, show her also by the instruments that you designed. Now, Amen. All right. So open your eyes. Now, okay. I want you to tell me what you have seen. If you didn't see anything, don't say. Alright? I want you to tell me what you have seen. Not so down to it, specifics. Alright? In quick. Alright? What have you seen? Sorry? Oh. A blurry place. Are you still there? Okay, I want you to come back. So it was a bloody place with what you said?
It was kind of grayish, blackish, kind of blurry. Mm-hmm. And it was like there were two figures. One looked a person within the like the other figure. The other figure looked kind of like a mountain-ish. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Right, very good. So just sit. So, What you have seen is only one among the three. Don't worry, as the service goes on, there are some that will come as a flash to you. Right? Then I will tell you what those three means by the time you'll achieve that. Now don't force to achieve it. I'm trying to work so I can go with your pace, right? Don't force to achieve it. It's going just to flow, because I've opened that for you, so it's going to. Now when it happens, right, I will tell you what the three means. Because I saw the three and the meaning and all this conversation. Sasa. But the condition was, I was supposed to tell you until you see it by yourself also. So I've seen one, and I don't tell you the specific one until the time I will be speaking. Right? Okay. So I have to continue. You hear that? Right. So expectation begin to play a very important role when a man comes in the place of adventure as far as the things of the spirit are concerned. Now, okay, just to make us know, we are still having the conversation on the kingdom. So that's what you have been journeying and tarrying into for a while. You will, are you getting that? Yes, you will check it. As we remember that this is a way of kingdom restoration, so we are measuring more on the kingdom before we understand more about the restoration that comes by it. And I've been teaching on this, and I've been saying that this thing has two sides. It has two-sided conversation. So how you understand it begins to lay up the conversation for your own becoming. So you must begin to understand both sides. It means that the beauty of this foresight is that you must understand both sides, and not just knowing, but understanding what these two sides means. Because you might be pushing to one side, but what you begin to encounter is on the second, on the other side. So you have to come to the place of understanding both sides. I had highlighted on these two sides before, so I don't want to go there now. I want to try to teach on some things that the Holy Ghost wants me to utter today. So I don't want to get there now, right? So we are still measuring more on the kingdom. And this begins to show how alive this kingdom is. Now, the fact that you might not have not known about the presence of this kingdom does not mean that this kingdom does not exist. So you might not know, but that thing still exists. Okay, now let me put it this way. The fact that you are ignorant does not mean that that thing that you are ignorant of does not exist. So information is not, the availability of information is not subjected to your knowing. It means that your knowing must be subjected to the availability of the information. So it's you to push into the knowing, and not knowing pushing into you. And that's why you can see it. And knowing, the knowledge aspect cannot come because you are just seated, because you know the Lord. But you have to move and begin to push yourself to learn. And it's by that learning that we acquire the information. So when knowledge comes, by man venturing the space of learning. So the fact that you might have not known, or your awareness is not really set so much on the presence of the kingdom, does not mean that the kingdom is absent. So you might have not known that the kingdom is or is in existence. That does not mean that the kingdom is not existing. It's only that you have not come to the awareness of it. So in that case, we must begin to join the place of knowing. We begin to push so much into the conversations in which the kingdom must begin to take the influence in the space of men. But what we begin to miss again in the same space is how we must navigate to bring the influence of this kingdom in the space of men. Now, we must begin to understand that the jurisdiction of the kingdom begins in the inside of a man, not from the outside. It is that jurisdiction in the inside that begin to impact, or begin to, by extension, bring an influence in the outside. So the outside is not influence until the inside comes to the establishment of the kingdom. So the kingdom must first of all be established inside of you to be able to bring the influence of the same kingdom in the space of men, or in the outer space. Now, the mistake we do is that we push so much in the kingdom being established in the outer space, yet within us, the kingdom has not yet found an establishment. It is a great crisis that we're having in the church, or as to them that knows or submit unto Jesus. Again, that. And so until we know this kingdom and establish this kingdom, I'm not just saying becoming aware of this kingdom. I'm saying that this kingdom must be established inside of you. Now, it means that it cannot come and as an expression in the outside, lest first of all, it gets to be established. So the primary establishment of this kingdom must first of all be within a man. So when Jesus is coming and begin to propagate the gospel of this kingdom, he was not speaking about a kingdom that must by primary influence bring an impact to the outside, but by primary influence it must be established first within every man that stands to hear him or accept him. So by accepting him, we open up the chambers, our own chambers in the inside, that the kingdom must be established first. Now, okay. Now, by all essence, our spirit has already entered that kingdom. Okay, just a minute. Okay. Now, by all extent, our spirit is already established in that kingdom. So what remains is our soul. So as our soul comes again to the place of the establishment of this kingdom. So we may shout that we belong to the kingdom of the Lord, but you see, there is no establishment because our souls are yet to acknowledge what we have aligned into. So there must be a great fusion within us, and that fusion must be a fusion of the spirit and the soul. So your soul must begin to acknowledge that there is a system that is existing that must begin to control it. It is where all these things begin to find residence. And you see, the greater the residence in your soul, the greater the impact or the influence that you shall become. So if the residence within your own soul is not that which is of God, then the influence equally will not be that which is of God, though you are one with God. And I've told you that the glory that you need to shine for the Lord, you are not going to bring that glory in the heavens, but that glory must find an essence first here on earth. And the way shall find an essence on earth, that your soul must come to the great influence of this kingdom, that your ways shall form system and patterns before men, that men can follow and see that kingdom. Now see how you talk, how you behave, how you do things, how you reason, how to you act to situations, all these things begin to form part of the old pattern. Now you have seen what the Bible says, that now when men shall say there's a casting down, we shall say there's a what? Now see, it was a kingdom language. It was not a language of men of the flesh, because there are things that flesh will put a bargain on that you must begin to solve them based on the articulation of the flesh. Yet the solution of these things was not based by the articulation of the flesh, but it was based by your understanding of the system that runs within you. So the first place the kingdom must find a relevance in is within you first. Now it means that you cannot begin to propagate the agenda of the kingdom unless you become part of the agenda. Thus, you cannot push this kingdom until you understand this kingdom. Understanding of this kingdom is not just by learning, but understanding of this kingdom is by living the kingdom. You have to stay, you have to dwell. The culture of this kingdom must be part of you. And see, culture is not a forced thing, it's a blueprint that's within your own system. The way you can wake up in the morning and you know you need to brush your teeth, you need to take tea, is part of the blueprint. It's a culture that must come unto us. So you see, the way you do life in the physical, now, that's what the kingdom begins to desire, that you must do life in the same manner. Because you know that you must dress, you must put on a cloth. Now, nobody needs to tell you that you need to put on a cloth. It means that your system knows that cloth is part of your living. Now, that's how the kingdom begins to desire an expression. That by default, you begin to act and live the kingdom. So the jurisdiction of the kingdom, as I was saying, that is mad, it must begin first inside a man before the influence by extension can be brought in the outside. So there cannot be a true impact in the outside unless the inside is established within the domains of this kingdom. Okay. Now, we must ask also ourselves a question, that why is it that the kingdom must be established first inside of us? All right, let's read this simple scripture. Let's start with this one. Now, let's start with the Colossians 1. Let's look at 13, the one that we love. That verse, everybody in this ministry is like, they know it. Are we there? All right. Now, it says what? That who has delivered us. All right. Okay, let's begin from verse 10 so we can establish a conversation. All right? Okay, verse 10. Say what? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge. Right? You are not seeing. Oh. Thank God for you. So where was I? They say if you're migrating, it won't be hard. You need to tell your husband to put a notice on the screen. My wife is migrating, so that we wait. You are now okay. Alright. So say that you might walk worthy. Okay, this might. Okay, let's begin from verse 8. Alright, there's something interesting there. So say, who also declared unto us your love in the spirit. Okay, continue. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual. Okay, now there's knowledge of his will. Alright, let me a bit dissect of that, then we proceed. Now see, that knowledge of his will is a specific knowledge, which means that in the school of knowledge there are different how men can begin to acquire this knowledge. There are different units of knowledge that a man can get into. So it means that you can know so much about the things of the spirit, but you fail to know much about his will. Okay. So the fact that you have known so much about the things of the spirit, you must fail to have the knowledge of his will, right? So you can have the knowledge of the realm of the spirit. You know how spirit move. You know how the interaction of the spirit are, but you have faith. You don't know much about the knowledge of his will. So based on what I've attained by knowing what's in the realm of the spirit, you begin to assume that now you have also known his will. These are different units that a man must come to the place that of acquiring these things. So you can know, you can have the knowledge of all the principles that there be. So the knowledge of principle can be given, but can also fail to know the knowledge of his will. It's a different conversation there. Now see, Paul is speaking to the church in Colossae, and he's trying to bring a specific understanding on what kind of knowledge is needed in this course. Look at it. Say, for this cause we also, since the day we had, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled. That was a spirit. It means that the knowledge of the will of God is not taught in a class, but it is an impartation. It's an infilling that comes. It's a spirit that comes. You cannot teach the knowledge of the will of God. In other words, you cannot teach the will of God, because the will of God is so that's the is a bit in is a diverse kind of a conversation, whereby what was the will in this moment might not be the same will in the coming moment. So if we lay up a doctrine based on the will that we encounter in the now, we might lose the whole aspect of it in tomorrow, which means that tomorrow must have its own bargains by knowledge of his will. So we can have the knowledge of the will of God in the now, but if we put a doctrine on it, we might miss other will that must come later on. It means that when God begins to deal with a man, even his will becomes progressive. It is not a place of silence, it's a place of progress. So if he speaks today on one direction on his will, we expect that next time he becomes more diverse based on the need of the moment. So every will of God can be based on the need, can be based on purpose, can be based on destiny. And sometimes can be based on what is good for you. So it means that even situations are part of, are subjected to the will. So situation most of the time becomes a part of the results of the will of God. So the knowledge of the will of God cannot be taught in a classroom. You have to sit with the Holy Spirit to be able to release that kind of a vibration to you. It's a knowledge that must come from the Holy Spirit on what is the will of God. Because the will of God varies in moments, varies based on the need of the moment. So what is the need of the moment? That the Holy Ghost or the Lord can begin to permit his will to come into awareness. And when the will is released, it's not released just for you to cycle, it's released into your awareness, which means that it needs to be acted on. That's why it's being released. If a will is released and a man failed to act on it, then the fruition of that will cannot be guaranteed or cannot be sustained. I said I'll go take a bit of detour on this. So there are some knowledge that can be taught, right? Like right now, I'm teaching you. So that knowledge coming to you now, and it's more doctrinal, it's more of us understand the things and that's for the spirit or understand the kingdom and all these things, is part of what forms the valuation in this kingdom. So there's a knowledge to be taught by men or by spirits, and then there's a knowledge that comes by the Holy Ghost giving it to a man in the moment. So you must begin to journey and tarry with him always. So that as far as we are going to learn of other things, he's going us to help you understand what is the will of God. And that will of God is packaged in the knowledge form. It's an information that comes. So Paul is saying that that will must be understood in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It was not just a normal understanding. It has to be very spiritual, because what the expectation was in the spirit. So it means that by all wisdom must come to the place of knowing this knowledge of his will, and also by spiritual understanding. So it means that our spirit begin to play the primary role in us acquiring that knowledge. And when that knowledge comes, it can only be understood by spiritual understanding. So the understanding of it must be anchored on a spiritual conversation. So you must begin to take a trip in the spirit. So if the will can be released, now the spirit understanding is the interpretation of what has been released. So that interpretation, you cannot interpret it by the flesh context, but you must just journey in the spirit to have the exclusive interpretation of it. And by now you know, if you're in the spirit, you're just done in the spirit realm because you want to jump there. There's no loitering in the spirit realm, because now you have a direction, and your direction is Jesus' direction. So you are now given unto light. So if you go to the realm of the spirit, you are journeying there shall be based on light conversation. Right? Good. So isn't that the knowledge of his will in all wisdom may be given to you, and in all what? Spiritual understanding. So there was a cause as to why that prayer had to be made in that manner. There was a cause. In that cause, the will of God had to be understood in that cause. There was a reason as to why that thing happened, and the will of God, the law of the will of God, had to be given to this man based on what Paul is saying to them, that we are praying. So it had to be given, and they had to capture it by all wisdom and in all spiritual understanding. So as you pursue knowledge, if you treat knowledge as a buffet knowledge, you might miss some growth aspect. So what must be is that the knowledge you're acquiring must be so specific, so you can know what have not attained and what have attained. Now see, there are people that understand the knowledge about kingdom wealth, So for them, they struggle not because they have some ways of understanding, because their knowledge on kingdom wealth. So that knowledge given unto them. Then, and that has the knowledge on kingdom warfare. Now, the one that has the knowledge on kingdom wealth might not have the one for kingdom warfare. How to do warfare in this kingdom? Because with them, they might just think that our way to warfare is just to give an offering and we are done. Because their mind is set on wealth aspect, right? Giving and all these things. So they just give everything there, but give. Oh, some things will demand for you to rise in prayer. So there are those who understand the knowledge about warfare. So, okay, the mistake we do in the church is that we try to generalize knowledge. And we say, every knowledge is the same. So we have generalized this knowledge. And the dangers are we might miss the specific that must begin to grow us. And maturity is not sustained based on in a place whereby there is disorganization. But maturity is attained whereby there's a complete organization. So there must be an order for maturity also to be sustained. Sustainability on the things of God is not because you just want to sustain the things of God, but it's because you are aligned to one particular direction to acquire, understand it, and come into the fullness of it before you can begin again to venture into other things. Now, despite the Lord knowing all things, the Holy Ghost is permitted to give you what you begin to push into. Oh, yeah. Now, despite him knowing all these things, despite him having the awareness of all things that exist, the Holy Ghost is permitted to only avail unto your man what that man is in pursuit of. So if you're in the pursuit of understanding the things of ministry of the pulpit, then the Holy Ghost is permitted to give you an expression of knowledge concerning what you're pushing into. If you want the knowledge of the Holy Ghost concerning the marketplace, oh, it is restricted to give a man what that man is pushing into. Because what a man wills to push into, then already means that there's already a stability that has been sustained that can be able to control that man when a video that knowledge comes. Okay, which means that if the possibility are, if a knowledge that you're not pursuing comes to you, there might be some risk of this man missing the right thing to consume. Now, do you know how you go to hotel and you choose the food from the menu? It's because though all these food that are available in the kitchen of that hotel or that restaurant, you cannot eat everything because there's some that you truly want. Now, see, you must have something specific to eat from that menu. If you want that, you have the menu and everything confused and say, hey, I need to take this. Hey, no, wait. I need to take that. No, wait. I need to. Now, if choosing things on menu is a problem to you, you see, even your maturity is a problem. Because you have to read everything. You see, hey. And sometimes you are even afraid to now read the names. You are now look at the picture and say, do you have this one? Yeah, you don't know that. Those are AI photos. You see, there are times I went to a restaurant and I chose the food on the picture of the menu. So what I was brought, so I had to compare the food and the picture. I realized that you don't need to choose by pictures. Choose what you are sure of. So whether it's brought bad or good, you are sure you will eat it. See, I complain the inside. You see, you cannot. There are some disappointments you cannot complain in the outside. So I had to swallow and complain inside. I said, hey. So until today, I've not gone back there. Now, that's why some of you have a specific restaurant that you go to, because you are sure of their food. You are sure of their food. And then there are those you cannot go to. So now, so they give the men to choose, because there's something that your soul wants. Probably yesterday, you ate chips and chicken. Today, your soul doesn't feel like you need. Yes, you feel like you just need a fresh juice and maybe samosas. It's based on the need of the moment. So you must be able to choose. Which means that if you chose biryani and they brought to you what? Mukimo. So they brought to, okay, mukimo is better. Let's say they brought you Githeri, right? There's a word they call Githeri in English. It makes it looks good until you see it. Now, okay. I went somewhere and they put Githeri in English. So I was asking, which one is this one? Then they told me that's Githeri. I said, oh. Have you come to that they, you want to order ugali omena, the way they have written omena, you might think something else. Salmonda something. See, there's a name. what do they call it? Salmonda what? Eh? Sardines, you see. So you have gone there and you want to eat something else, and you have seen sardines, you think that this is pizza. You say, hey, I want these sardines. Bring sardines and juice. When sardine comes, hey, what is this thing? That's why I love the village hotels. You see, they write it direct the way it is. So now, so they give you the menu to choose. It is how the Holy Ghost works with men. It's a presentation of a menu in your own spirit. You choose on what kind of meal to feast into the things of the spirit. And that's why there are seasons that a man can begin to hunger for more prayer. See, you're just sitting, but prayer begins to call you. You feel like you need to pray. And when you pray, you feel like you are being strengthened, being energized. It's a season that you are into. Okay. I'm not saying that you don't pray as a season. I'm saying that there's a season that begins to call for more. You just feel like you need to do prayer. Then another one comes that the only thing you feel like doing, you just feel like fasting. Even food begins to betray you. Nothing can enter your stomach. Because what your system demands is fasting. So, it's a season that by many, what your spirit wants to feed on is... Now, you see, he knows that you always fast and pray frequently. But this time around, the specific need is that by all means, you must enter that prayer and fasting for days. The one comes that what it demands that you just need to listen to strings and instrumentals. You are still beginning to demand for something that need to provoke you to begin to chant or begin to listen to some sounds in the spirit. To what extent can you labor in the things of God that the menu cannot confuse you on what to feast in? And the fact that you didn't choose other food in the menu does not mean that you cannot eat them another time. It's only that this time round, what I want to eat is this specific one. Look at that. And that's why if you are only used to eating chips every time you hear a restaurant, then you have a problem. If you are seeing what demand for chips, oh, but they bring the menu, they say, no, I turn the menu, let's not do chips. There's a problem. Every time chips and Fanta Baridi, you don't even know that they have fresh juice. You don't even know that they have passion juice, right? Yes. The only thing you know, not even the other chips, the colored one, this one, very good, masala, not the food color chips. I'm talking about the original colorless chips. You get that? So they bring you that chips. I don't know why I'm talking about chips. You see, yesterday I was somewhere in a meeting, then they brought for me, I ordered chips. I didn't want just eat anything, I just wanted chips, the normal chips, leave alone myself. You get that? So I was in a serious restaurant somewhere. So then they brought that, you need that chips. So I was checked with some pineapple mint. I know, don't understand that, don't worry, I will check with the Omega. So they bought with pineapple mint and that chips. So my problem was how that chips, you see, it was served in a plate, and then there's another one in that canette thing. It looks like a net thing, the wire thing. It was put. So I had to calculate before I embarrass myself. I had to call Esther because I know she has gone to hotels and eaten that thing, that net. So I called. I've never eaten that thing. So I had to go ask her. Don't laugh, but now let me ask you this: these chips in this wire, how do you eat inside the wire, or do you remove it? I don't embarrass myself, you get it? Yes. So she told me you eat it inside. I said, hey. So I tried it inside, that thing was hard. So I had to pour it on the plate. I was a little embarrassed myself, but I get full. So I had to pour it on. Those are some serious experiences. I think that's why I'm speaking about chips more, Cindy. I'm still traumatized. So there are people that when they go to hotels, what they order is chips and Fanta Baridi. You get it? Yes, Fanta Baridi. That's what they know. If, now, do you know the hotels that if you order soda, they know that you're not serious. The place you go to, if you order soda Baridi, they know this one is a villager. This Nairobi, everybody is drinking passion juice, all this blended juice. You come with Fanta Baridi. You see, me mostly I drink soda when I go to the village. In Nairobi, I realize because I find variety. Get it? There are different options. You hear that? Yeah. But now that I'm not that a soda person, I only take it once in a while. Hiding. If my wife see me taking soda, is a problem. So I have to hide when my wife is not seeing me. I take one bottle and then assume that I'm taking water. So I carry water and soda, so I take it, then I remain with the water. I will be hiding. Ready. Even the house, if I buy soda, is a problem. Is a problem. If I open that fridge, she'll be there looking on farming. Is this man eating, taking the soda? So we bless God for those who, the soda people, keep on promoting Coca-Cola company. We bless you. Right? Uh-huh. So what was I saying? Before I enter, I do chips and soda, buried. You get that? So the menu can be served in the spirit. Some of you, the only thing you are used to in the spirit is praying. Now, so that time has come, and the need of the moment that you must enter into fervency of the word. But because you are being aligned into prayer, you feel like word is going to waste your time. But that's how some of us are. Or in a ministry whereby people just do deliverance. So because you are used to a pattern, the pattern of the deliverance, the Lord has said, I need you to push into me by yourself, by prayer, fasting, and the word. But because you are used to deliverance, you cannot permit yourself to break away from it. You have to stay. So we deny more access that can sustain our growth in the spirit. Okay, let's finish that verse. Verse 10, all right. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful. All right, now, see, verse 10 is a subject to verse 9. Now, you saw it is the verse 9? Okay, give them again verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we had it, do not cease to pray for that to desire that you might be. So now, the subjection is here. This was the seed being planted in the hearts, that you be filled. So it was not that they need to desire it, it's that they need to be filled by it. Alright? They need to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Then when this has been achieved, then verse 10 says what? That you might walk, right? Worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of. Now, the specific knowledge has again been mentioned. So we have left the knowledge of the will of God, and now we have come to the knowledge of. And you see, if you attain the knowledge of God, means that now you have possibly attained the knowledge of almost of all things. Now, see, okay, let me try to illustrate. I hope you understand it. Having the knowledge of God is like having the knowledge of you being a human being. Now, so the first thing you come to know is that you are a human being, right? So what remains that you need to live as a human being? You need to act as a human being. By you need to know how to eat, how to take care of yourself by hygiene, how to sleep, how to, see, all these things, they become part of you by default. Because the knowledge to be a human being has come. Now, do you know there are human beings that behave like animals, like monkeys and all these things? It's because part of them, they have understood that we are monkeys, I'm a monkey, so they behave like it. So the first thing you know is that you are a human being. So it means that you begin. The know that came that you have now been opened up to know that you are a human being. So the knowledge means that now, by that, the expectation is you need to behave like a human being. So you have the knowledge of God. In that essence, the expectation is you need to now begin to behave like God. By speech, by action, by all these things, by how you address things. So Paul is making a conversation with this man. That part of our conversation is that we are going to intercede for you, that you shall be filled, right, with the what? The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy, what? Unto the Lord, of the Lord, unto all pleasing. Being what? Faithful or fruitful in every good work. If you attain that knowledge, then even fruitfulness become part of you. It means that you're in the right, what? You have the right conditions to be able to produce fruit. Alright, now that begins to tell us that fruitfulness in God is a requirement of a man submitting faithfully unto God. So that's why now, you see, that's why the God shall not give you the fruits of the Holy Spirit, but shall produce them. So it means that the condition to produce those fruits, you must be rightly aligned unto God. So you're not going to labor to produce the fruit. You only need to align, and by that alignment, by default, you shall produce the fruits. So he said, being fruitful in every good. So it means that not every good work can produce fruit. You see, I always do good things. So not every good work can produce fruit. He said, you need to be fruitful in every good work. Now that's why, you see, somebody will pass exams in the 844 system and they are passed so crazy. They are shining. They are there. They are flying. They have passed their A whatever, A planes, A minuses, and all these things. Or they are in primary, they pass with 400 marks and all this. Then the next stage, they lose that whole grip. So their grip of academic prowess departs. So what was the fruit of their good labor? Because the fruit of their labor means that it must transit with you into the next phase. So by record, we shall not say that now that this person passed primary by accident. No. We shall say that this is who this person is. Because in the primary they're shining, in high school they're shining, in university they're doing well. So we can know. That's that consistency. I'm trying to give you an example with the academic thing. I know after university you people have to cry a lot. You will blame the president. So before I blame the president, is that what all of us do? It's easy to blame the government for everything, right? It's easy. I'm telling you, being in government is very hard. Being in the government is very hard. People will blame you for everything. 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 You get that? Yes. It's like in football. Being a coach is very hard. The players might just be useless, but see, they are blaming the coach. You get that? Yes. So, it's normal. Okay, I'm not saying that all coaches are. Some coaches are very useless. How they put the squad, you see, that they are not normal. You get that? Yes. I know of one. I will not tell you today. I know of one. That one. We are watching. Very soon, shall start Mandamano. So we can remove him. We are watching. You get that? If you give up messing as we, our eyes are on him. You get that? Yes. Yes. It's so easy to change the coaches. Just fail to win trophies for us. We are going to. Like right now, our hopes are high. If in the spirit, that's what I'm saying. Our hopes are high. If that guy messed this season, no, he has to go. If we don't win anything this season, that guy, he will go before the season ends. I'm telling you, He will go. So we are giving him time. So by the time we get to April, we shall know the fate of this guy. If you win some few trophies now, we shall. You get that? Yes. So if you know, you know what I'm saying. So we are giving him time. Right now, our hopes are here. We are flying. We are flying. And he has the best squad. If you mess it up, that? No. Even this small cup, you see this Carabao? Okay. Most of you don't know. We have that Carabao, that small cup. That one, if we don't win it, that guy must go. He must go. We shall even pray and fast. He has to go. You get that? He has to go. But we are praying for him to succeed. Alright. So, you can do some good works and you fail to be fruitful. Now, that was what Paul is trying to make as an admonition based on the prayer that he is going to make for this church. And he said that in every, you being fruitful in every good work, and says increasing in the knowledge. Now, it means that the knowledge of God is not static. It's a progressive thing. Now, remember I told you that God is progressive? So, even his things, including the knowledge of him, is also progressive. So, it means that there must be an increase in that knowledge. So, an increase, you must go and begin to sort for that knowledge. Are you willing to learn? And you see, the first step you take by learning is being available. So, availability is the first step. Now, see, when you take the first step, that doesn't mean that now you have achieved it. It's like you have gone to school, that doesn't mean that now you are intelligent. So, you take the first step is a subject to what you have come for. But that doesn't mean that now you have the knowledge. Then now you must be willing to intentionally acquire or get that knowledge. It means this knowledge is in supply. But until you are willing, it cannot be supplied to you. And the willingness takes a lot. It's about position, it's about location, it's about timing, all these things. How positioned are you for the knowledge of God to come and? Now, see, my time is about to, but I've not even started teaching what I wanted to teach. I'm still preparing people. You get that? So pray for me, I can finish early. The way I'm going, make prayers. Start calling the name of the Lord. Alright, verse 11. I'll just finish up to verse 13, then I proceed. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience. Are you people reading? And long suffering with what? With joyfulness. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Then verse 13 says what? Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and us, translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So now the being translated into the kingdom of his dear son was not a guarantee that you were transformed. Transformation is based on how successful that translation was. And you are not just translated based on location, but you are translated based on the nature. So what must come within your nature was part of this kingdom. Because he says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness? So the first question must be to ask yourself that this power of darkness, what part of us was being held in bondage? What part of our existence was in the bondage of darkness? That we needed the deliverance of God from the power of darkness. Look at that. It says, who has delivered us? Who has delivered us? Right? From. So it means that we were subjected or we were subjects by slaves. Because being delivered means you were a slave. Okay. There's a difference between a slave and a servant. Are you together? So he was not speaking about you being a servant of darkness, but you being a slave of darkness. So it means that by all means, you have to do the biddings of darkness. Servant means that at least you have your wages at the end of it. But slaves means that there's no wages for you. Now, that was what Israelites were to the Egyptians. They were slaves, not servants. Because servants, you are entitled to wages at the end of the old contract or at the end of the time. But for a slave, you are not entitled to anything. So we were not servants to darkness. We were slaves to darkness. It means that no matter how many times you spend in darkness, there was no reward for you. So what the Bible said to tell us is that we were not in cooperation with darkness, but we were subjected as slaves unto darkness. So what the only antidote for that slavery is that we had to be delivered from that power that was holding us in the space of darkness. He said the power of darkness. So it means that darkness was the controlling factor and it had its grip on us. It was the power of that was the subject. Darkness. And this darkness was not in the conversation of the nature aspect or of the creation aspect, but it was in the conversation of the nature aspect, the condition in which this darkness was. It was the darkness in the capacity of a person. So in the capacity of a person, darkness was, and it was having its own authority to put us in subjection as slaves to eat as darkness. So in the same way a person comes and delivers us from another person who was holding us as slaves, so we were delivered, right? So the most part, critical part, or the most foundational part of us that was in complete subjection was our own spirit. And that influence was moved through the biddings of the influence of the spirit. It was moved by extension into our souls, so that our soul can carry forward what our spirit has become. So our souls had no will to decide. I have said we were slaves, not servants. So our souls had no will to decide to either do the biddings or not do the biddings. In all completeness, we are subjected to it. Everybody get what I'm saying? Now, you see, it is the most dangerous path that any man can wish to be. At least you are in salvation, you are in God. God has given you a free will, you can do whatever you want to do. You can decide not to worship Him, you can decide to worship Him. You have a free will. But while we are sitting in darkness, there was no such kind of a privilege. We were subjected to an order of slavery. Well, but there's no freedom to decide what you need to do or what is good or wrong for you. You have to abide by it. There was no option for us to do other things. So it had to take a strong man to come and set us free. Now you saw what Ephesians 6:12 says, that we rest not against flesh and blood. It begins to bring a spirit conversation. There was again deliverance that had to be taken in different spheres of influence. It was speaking about powers, rulers of darkness, principalities, and all these things. Okay, thank you, Magenda. I said that against principalities, now that's what first category, there's powers, there was rulers of darkness of this world, there was spirit of wickedness. Look at us. So it was 1, 2, 3, how many are they? There are four, right? So, what we see now in Colossians 1:13 begin to speak as part of what composes the authorities in the spirit. And it says, we were delivered from the power of darkness. So, what was controlling that realm, you see, it was in the power context. So, in that context, it needed power to be able to contend against power. Okay, so, it means that it did need a principal conversation to contend against power, but it needed the same mankind, or we was holding this man as slaves to set this man free. It is what takes place in every conveyor of battles. That how do you approach every battle? You don't approach them because you want to wage war, because you want to wage war, just because you want to pray and do all these things. It means that there's a formula to in which a man gets to approach every battle that they get to face. Because there are battles of wisdom or wits. There are battles that needs now power. There are battles that need now fire. You see, hey, what we need fire, we don't need your wisdom. No, come there, the wise man, you will die. That wisdom. Say, oh, I'm a wise man, I will navigate. Oh, before navigate, we die. Okay. Now, we all know how even the people are police and all this military thing, we all know the academic aspect of it, them. And you see, they have also another group that they always recruit. A group that has mind, brains, to be able to handle our medical aspect. They call them, I've forgotten that name. Cadets, thank you. So they have that recruitment of cadets. It's a different aspect. Then they have the one for the ground guy. For the guy, they have no problem. You just come the way you are. The Lord is your hope. So you have to come. Say, don't just come with the papers. And now they're even lowering David the grace more. Because they have realized that these people can fight. Now, you see, what we see being expressed in the physical way is what is there in the spirit. That there are those that understand how to navigate the things of the brains, and then that those understand how to navigate the things of the physical. When it needs now weapons and all these machineries, there are those who knows how to do that. Now, you see, it will just know that there are even some cadets who have never even stepped into a battleground. So when they even hear a gunshot, they freeze. Because some of them are used to just office work. Yeah. They don't know how to. So some of them, the only thing they know is how to pay the salary of the soldiers. Their work just to deal with money. They are staying in the office. They are the HRs, they are doing all this accounting. Their work is just to stay in the office. They've never had some serious confrontation in the battlefield. This is a different. So how did that man enter the battle? Say, see, I'm the HR of this barrack. Before he finished saying I'm the HR, he will have died. Because that place they don't understand the mathematics, is understand gunshots, bullets, and all these things. Is how battles in the realm of the spirit is categorized. That therefore that you have so much knowledge, you must continue to wage war in the spirit. And that's how even this means that time that we wage war in the spirit, though we teach, because we understand that there are some battles that you fight between understanding things and foolishness. So we battle foolishness by knowledge. They will battle power by power. We don't just come because we want to come. These are the part of what begin to form the categories in the place of the spirit. How do you approach all these battles? So the only way we could be delivered is that a higher power had to come to contend against this present power. And the present power that was in darkness had to be defeated by what had to come. And now, God in his wisdom, he knew that it was not just enough to deliver this man. So by will, he said, now, let me now put them into the kingdom. So there was a process of translation. Okay, not your normal Bible translation. It's a chemistry in the spirit. So you are translated, right? Into the kingdom, which means that there was a fortification that took place within that which was a slave unto darkness. So that womb was a slave had to be fortified. And the imprint of that fortification was based on the kingdom. So he said, and he translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So the imprints that makes us to become fortified was that which was of the kingdom. Now, you have read it before in Matthew 6 and 3 that seek ye first the kingdom of God and all the, and instruction, and they say all this. So it means that the kingdom is the first qualification to attain all this. What? So the kingdom being present into you means that there's more need that you need to stay and seek of this kingdom. It's not because they want to come, but everything must begin from your inside before the influence can come in the outside. When you tell men that you present Jesus, can they see Jesus? How you act on things, how you do things. Because the only thing we think we know is that people might know, the only way people can know that we are of God, we have to pray so loud, or we have to pray so often. You realize, see, that your prayer becomes more boring to them. So if the only way you know is that you have to shout so loud in prayer, if that's the only way you know how to navigate and make them know that you're born again, that you begin to lose more than you can attract your space. And then when men begin to depart from it, say, these people are demons, that's why they are running away. Yet you don't know that it's your foolishness that makes these men to run away. Yet by wisdom, you can navigate and still bring these men to the chambers of Jehovah, and they can still meet God. This kingdom is not a place, it's not a cabal of foolishness. Yet we see that foolish men operate in this kingdom. What you are given as part of the necessity in this kingdom was not because you just need to shout Jesus is Lord, but the Lordship of Jesus must penetrate in every space of existence. How do you reason in that office? Can they see God? You see, one of my tailors, the one that makes the Malik clothes. So this guy, when we begin business, he didn't know that I was a pastor, that I was preaching. Because I just come, we focus on business. So I could come just do business, tell him, make this needs to be this. So I give the instruction, the thing, the work to be done, all that. So how this guy saw the way I handle things, even when a clothes has not come out right, how I handle the situation, how you that. This guy now decided to worry, who is this man? Because even him, one day he annoyed me, but I didn't react. So I said, who is this man? So at the time I came now to the workshop, then I entered. Then he began to call me pastor. I said, this man, why are you calling me pastor? So I was asking that question in my inside. So he began to narrate how he came to. I said, thank God. He was not calling me pastor because of how I was just doing things, but he saw how I was acting out things by kingdom understanding, and he went to seek Father, who is this man? Can men see God in you? Can you handle things and men see God? You get that? Yeah. Or you are that kind that something happens, then the next that comes from you can need you and mean in none. Then the abuse. It's so easy to abuse people, right? Especially those who watch football. You see, if you watch football, oh, thank God you don't watch football. Most of you, if you are a football fan, that even tonight there's a game, we have to watch it. You get that? We have to watch. So is it the way you just abuse players and referee and everybody? If you watched Africa Cup of the final one, everybody was abusing the referee. Okay, 95% of Africans were abusing the referee. Nice. It's football. And then when the anger of football is moments, look at that. You abuse the referee now, in the next second you are celebrating goal, you are happy with the referee. Say, that referee is very good. Is how you are being favored in the game that makes you abuse or not abuse. You get that? Yes, you can even abuse their players. That you see, this life will show us things. Even when you don't want to sin, you sin will come to you. Oh, I I'm telling, if you don't watch football, God help you. You stay away. Stay away. Those who don't know about football, stay away. If you are there, you cannot leave it. Even Holy Ghost knows, he will help you support that team. Oh, that thing is very hard. I'm telling you. If you do you watch football? Bless you. Let us listen. So if you, I'm talking to the converts, you see, I'm trying to look for some serious name. That those monks, the monks of watching football, the dedicated ones. Hey, you only know that you love football if you can discuss the same game for 4 days after the game, or five, at least the least days, four. Look at that. That's if there's no game in the midweek. If you can discuss that game from last weekend up to another weekend, the time you're playing, you are fully a serious football fan. But those that watch the game and the game finishes, say, and they forget the whole story. You are not serious. You need to find something to do. No, find something to do. Football is not yours. The bit of football is discussing the match after the. So me, if my team is defeated, I will not get online. It's very serious online. I will depart from online that week because I know the kind of stones being thrown there. I will not survive. So I stay away. You get that? It's very hard. There are things that will make sin to come to you. You are from praying. The Holy Ghost was everywhere for you. Then you put on the screen and watch football. Say, hey, me jing, oh, no. Now you see. You have lost it. Sin will still come to you. You want to now? You see, like you're in school, you're born again, but you want to skip class. You have to tell somebody to sign. You see, that sin will still come to you. There's a way sin just calls your name. we are wrestling not against flesh and blood. This thing, you're trying to escape this one. You jump and step on the other one. Say, hey, Jesus. It's very dangerous, right?
Yeah, very dangerous.
Very dangerous. But that's how we survive in this kingdom. We become more aware and alert of all these things. Yeah. Alright. So that's part of the kingdom. So you have to form it. It has to be established inside of you. It has to be established.